This week's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hype. Welcome to Hype Episode 5. It is an exciting day, you know, to be going to Hypeable. We're looking forward, actually, to the Catching Fire trailer, which we speculated on the last episode would be coming with the MTV Movie Awards. And sure enough, it's coming this Sunday.
Nailed it. We were right.
Yeah. Well, props to Sonia, who I think came up with the theory, right? But Sonia's not here this week, but Josh, Selena, Tariq, and I are here to update you on the news stories that have been going on in the past couple of weeks. And we're going to start with the Catching Fire trailer story first. Like I said, it's going to be debuting this Sunday at the MTV Movie Awards. Liam Hemsworth is going to be unveiling it, and 2.5 minutes long, so we're not even getting a teaser trailer. We're just jumping straight to the theatrical trailer.
That's far. They can run really far in 2.5 minutes, Hugo.
Oh, wow.
And well, I think that also means that we'll get another 2.5 minute trailer closer to the release in a few months, so that's good.
This is unusual, though, right? I mean, usually we have like 3 teaser trailers before the trailer.
Yeah, I guess they're not wasting any time because they know we have been teased enough.
Yep. We did get a GIF yesterday.
Yeah. You know, MTV, I really don't like MTV. Maybe I'm just bitter because I tried applying for the movie awards and they haven't responded to me. But they released a GIF. It's a quick clip from the trailer. It's nothing really. We get to see Katniss and Peeta. But yeah.
The peacemakers have nice butts in those GIFs.
Yeah, you know what? Somebody else in the comments said that too.
Oh, hey.
Is that you?
No.
Tariq in disguise.
Wow, so multiple people are admiring the butts of the peacemakers. Do you think that was a thing as part of the casting? Like, you must have a
here.
Bubble butt.
Probably, yeah.
I would not have gotten the role, unfortunately.
Aw.
But anyway, enough about butts.
Butts.
On Hypeable today, we're publishing an article, the top 12 scenes we want to see in the Catching Fire trailer. I'll go through a few of them quickly. A montage of the victory tour. See, that's a good, I could see that one opening up the trailer, right?
Yeah.
President Snow and Katniss's study. The wedding photo shoot. Finnick offering his sugar cubes. That'll definitely appear in the trailer.
I'm sure it'll be the opening shot. Welcome to Catching Fire. Have a sugar cube.
Gail's whipping. Wyrus repeating TikTok. You're
Ooh,
the mock.
Yes.
That might be a good start.
I could see that one.
Maybe they just whisper
the
it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like end. In a black screen TikTok. Mm-hmm.
Would
be
perfect. Oh, that'd be so awesome.
And then you see like a glimpse of a clock, because you know there's like a clock theme throughout with like the watch and obviously the arena. That'll be great if they like thematize
make trailers.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just make our own trailer.
Yeah,
we
should.
All these things.
We'll just cut it up after it comes out.
So there's some great ideas here. One of our new writers, Danielle, came up with a nice list here. You can check out the full thing in her explanations on Hypeable, as we all eagerly await the trailer. And we'll have more to talk about, of course, on the next episode with that. There's, I don't think anybody on this panel are Glee fans. We tried to get John, our resident Gleek, on the show. Although I guess you watch it, Tariq, right? Don't you?
I do watch it.
Yeah,
I
you watch everything.
Yeah, I do watch everything.
There's some interesting news. Glee, you know, hasn't been renewed for season 5 yet. And people are thinking, well, there's a report from E! News that it's because Fox isn't sure if the showrunners, Ryan Murphy, of course, who created it, Ian Brennan, and Brad Falchuk are going to be returning.
Ooh.
They're the three big wigs behind the show. And I guess maybe they are unsure if they want to return. I'm sure Fox has talked to them. But man, I mean, that would be something if Glee ended this season.
You know what, though? Like, I have a feeling that Glee at this point is just such a cash cow that they're not going to let it go, even if the showrunners don't return. You know, like, similar to Community, except Community is not a cash cow.
Right.
It's just kind of there. But you know what I mean? Like, Glee, with all the merchandising, with all the songs, if they keep most of the cast, obviously, what's his face? Is not coming back.
Corey Monteith,
yeah. But the rest of them, if they keep them, if they have some of the writers, if they, like, they're going to keep it on. And that might even be a good thing. Who knows where they, well, new people can take the story.
Well, Corey, I think, is coming back for, in theory, he'll come back for season five. It's just that he's not coming back for the remainder of, I think the final two episodes of season four are the ones he won't be on because he's in rehab, which is another story we should probably mention. We reported a week or two ago, I think came from People Magazine, who broke the story that he's been admitted to rehab to deal with substance abuse. And it's not the first time he's been in rehab, actually. So our thoughts are with him. But, you know, good thing. I thought it was good that instead of, you know, like TMZ reporting it first after like discovering it themselves, that Corey and his representatives were on top of the news, just being like, all right, you know what?
Yeah, like they broke it, right?
Right. They decided to get the news out. So that was
fun. It's been handled really tastefully, I think.
Yeah, it has. I mean, it'll be interesting. I think worst comes to worst, they will appoint a new showrunner. Somebody already deeply involved with Glee will become the new showrunner if these three don't come back. But if all three left, I mean, that would be huge.
That would be insane. Because you have the graduating class that are the original characters this year leaving, plus the fact that none of the original Glee choir members are in the show, or in school, technically. So it'd be really interesting, even if they did continue it, because people still aren't in love with these new characters. Like a lot of people like them, but they're not as loved as the main characters were.
Right.
It's just so, when I watch the show now, I mean, I don't really watch, but when I tune in, like when I see photos and whatnot, I just look at the kids who are allegedly in high school. I'm just like, has everybody?
You're 35.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's hardly new though for television.
Yeah, it's common.
Yeah, but I feel like they do it just because, like with Glee, I don't know.
The thing is, though, that, like, Tariq, you were saying how, you know, the kids are graduating and the new kids, nobody's really sort of attached themselves to these characters yet. But I personally, I know this makes me sound really cynical, but I feel like as long as they keep Darren Criss, they're going to be all right. Like, it almost doesn't matter who else they have on the show.
As long as he never graduates.
Right. Well, yeah. And I feel bad for saying that because he's not even technically an original character on the show, but he's just sort of, for everyone I see who loves Glee, he's always the person that everybody seems to, and oh, we're going to get lots of emails saying, I hate him. but you know, you know what I mean? Like, he sort of seems to have come to embody Glee, at least the way I see it. So I feel like they could keep it on and have it be successful, even if it's just him and a few of the other regulars. Because people like, who have we got? Like Tina and Artie and Sam and all of these people. Like, people like them, but they're not as essential to the show. Which makes me feel bad to say, but it's true.
No, it's true, because their plot lines have never really been that focused on.
Yeah,
they've
always
had like
a
couple of episodes, but not like multi-episode arcs or anything.
Yeah.
I just love this idea that Glee will remain okay as long as Darren Criss is on the show.
Don't you think that's true, though?
Well,
I mean, honestly.
I mean, people would be up in arms, but I mean, God, I hope the show doesn't turn into Blaine Lee.
Darren Criss show. Yeah. They just spin him off. Send him back to whatever that school was with the suits. And there you go.
Don't you think he'll want to move on, though? Because he seems like one of the people who could actually move on from the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to continue with the news in our Hot on Hypeable segment in just a moment. But first, it's time to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of Hype, Audible is offering you a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their great service. I actually have a pick. I think this is really interesting. I just discovered this before we recorded. The Great Gatsby, which of course is being turned into a film. But the audiobook is narrated by Jake Gyllenhaal.
Wow.
What?
That wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. This was just released, actually, a few days ago in audiobook form. It's the classic American novel about the roaring 20s. It's beloved by generations of readers and stands as F. Scott Fitzgerald's crowning work. So this is a new audio edition authorized by the Fitzgerald estate in light of the movie coming up. It's got the movie cover with Leonardo DiCaprio on the front of it. And like I said, it's narrated by Jake Gyllenhaal. And it says here in the description, Gyllenhaal's performance is a faithful delivery in the voice of Nick Carraway, the Midwesterner turned New York bond salesman who rents a small house next door to the mysterious millionaire Jay Gatsby. There, he has a firsthand view of Gatsby's lavish West Egg parties and of his underlying love for the beautiful Daisy Buchanan. So you can get this for free by going to audiblepodcast.com/hype. You can get a free month, which means you will get a free audiobook. What's great about Audible is that you listen to books instead of reading them. So let's say you finish this episode of Hype. What are you doing now after you finish our other Hypeable podcasts, which we have many of, by the way? Or if you go on a long drive, or you are going on a long walk or a long run. These are great. Audible is a great way to enjoy a book without, you know, having to carry one around. In a lot of situations, you're going around, you want to listen to something, you need something long to listen to. This is a perfect solution. By the way.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh, go on.
I was just going to say The Great Gatsby is only 4 hours and 52 minutes, which is pretty short compared to a lot of audiobooks. So this one is a good starter book, I would say.
I was just going to say, like, way to get, because The Great Gatsby is like a literary classic that you have to read in school, and way to up the excitement among school children by having really hot actors read them. I mean, this is perfect.
If only you could see them while they read it.
Oh, yeah.
I heard he read it while shirtless. That's just a rumor.
Imagine it while you're reading. There you go.
Tariq's Googling it right now.
Stay in school.
Is it true? So again, visit audiblepodcast.com/hype to get an audiobook like The Great Gatsby for free. And we thank Audible for their support of Hype. Let's talk some Harry Potter now. It's mini MuggleCast time. Mm-hmm. Pottermore has released Prisoner of Azkaban chapters 8 through 15. You know, it's been a while, actually, since the first batch of Prisoner of Azkaban chapters were released. But, you know, I really hate to turn this into a Pottermore bashing fest. I really do.
Oh, no.
I don't know if I've just trained people to agree with me at this point or what, but I was reading through the comments of my article, which I did not bash Pottermore in, and people were agreeing with some of the thoughts that I've had inside my head.
Yeah.
Just that there's nothing here. There, at this time, there's no mini games. People were hoping you would get to get your Patronus in these chapters, because chapter 12, the Patronus, that doesn't happen. There's not even new material from J.K. Rowling about the Patronus. There's in the Patronus chapter is, quote, Dementors and Chocolate. That's the new content from J.K. Rowling.
Really? Well, you know, chocolate is good, but...
Oh, yeah, but it's something we already knew.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like that's why I feel about Pottermore as well. I'll join your little bashing fest for a moment, that it's just like before the final book was released, I wanted to know every single detail about the brooms, about the Gryffindor versus Ravenclaw, about the Marauder's Map, all these things that are coming out in this chapter. But at this point, that means nothing to me. Like, I want to know about the characters, and I want to do fun stuff like get your Patronus, get your house, find out what your Boggart would be, all of these things. That's what I want.
I feel like J.K. Rowling was such a tease, too, in the Marauder's Map part, where she was, like, talking about how James and Peter Pettigrew and Lupin got all the map, like, before Harry's school time. And they're like, okay, that's it. That's all we're going to tell you. We're not going to tell you anymore.
No prequel.
Prequels suck, apparently.
Yeah, so, you know, I will say the artwork is beautiful.
As always.
Yeah
it's great. I mean, it really, there's the image we used for this article of Harry holding the cup. I mean, it, just gorgeous. It's just, there's even the new content from J.K. Rowling is kind of not new. It's sort of just, there's a lot of summarizing and not, like I've said, she's got to drop some bombs on this site. Like, I got to do an open letter. I can't take it anymore. This is driving me crazy. Like, why is this not glaringly
obvious? Do you think she can turn it around, though? Do you think she could turn it around by now?
Probably not. But
it feels like everybody has a negative attitude, you know, towards it.
I just feel like if they dropped a bomb or two, it would at least get in, you know, go through all the media. Oh, J.K. Rowling revealed, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and
there would be all these mentions of Pottermore.
Yeah, you're right. It's just good business.
Yeah.
Yeah, good business.
Make someone gay. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, goodness gracious. Anyway, some other Harry Potter news. This news is a little bit more exciting, I think. The Wizarding World of Harry Potter expansion looks to be opening in June of 2014. And particularly, they seem to be targeting the week of June 11th. So, moving pretty fast on it. I mean, that means we're only about a year away. Just earlier today, we shared photos from behind the scenes of Universal. I won't be surprised if Universal complains about this. And the Hogwarts Express train tracks are going up. They are elevated above the backstage because the Hogwarts Express is going to connect the existing Islands of Adventure theme park with the new Diagon Alley London land at Universal Studios. They're neighboring theme parks, and they'll be connected via a Hogwarts Express train. So,
fantastic. I wish I could go.
I'm so excited. I'm totally going. Hopefully, maybe.
Yeah, I just don't want to go when it opens. I mean, it you can look at pictures from the Wizarding World opening in June 2010, and the lines were stretching out of the park down through their downtown area and like way beyond. Like, it was just insane. So I wouldn't recommend going when it's opening, even in like the first
month. No, nah, I'll go like 3 months later.
Yeah, perfect. Like the fall or September or something like
that. When all the annoying kids are back in school.
Right, exactly. Get out of here. Dan Radcliffe is now a vlogger.
Sorry.
You know, we've talked about, I don't know if we have. Google Plus is a social network from Google. And Dan Radcliffe, he has decided that is going to be the social network he's on. He's not on Twitter. He's not on Facebook. He's on Google Plus. And I was perusing
such a hipster.
Yeah, I know, right? I was perusing his profile yesterday, and I realized that a couple days ago, he announced that he's starting a vlog, a video diary, he called it. See, it wasn't news because nobody looks at Google Plus, so nobody knew that Dan did it. But everyone just,
it was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. It was like forever ago. And, you know, here's just evident. I don't want to turn this into a complaining episode, but like big celebrities, they get thousands of retweets and favorites when they're on Twitter and Facebook. But then you look at Dan's posts and they have 1,000 pluses, meaning 1,000 people interacted with the post. And for somebody as popular as Dan Radcliffe, you know, that's nothing.
Yeah.
I kind of like it though. Like in a way, it's nice because on Twitter, I feel like, I mean, it's so easy for a celebrity to go on there and say hello and it gets like 10,000 retweets and you're like, what is happening with the world right now? But here it's like saying, look, if you're really a fan of me, you will find this content.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna. Exactly. Like I want to share stuff with fans, but I'm not necessarily just in it for the empty retweets. And let's be fair. He's Dan Radcliffe. He doesn't need it.
Right.
Like people know who he is.
I also like the fact that it's like a smaller audience just because it feels closer. You always feel like more unique when you're in a smaller group of followers.
And oddly enough, he doesn't feel like mass produced to me. You know what I mean? Like when I see stuff from him, I don't feel like it's just from the machine, you know?
He's always tried to stay under the radar in a way.
Yeah. And the account is great. I mean, I assume it's one of his people running it for him, but it's really good. There's a great mix of photo shoots and behind the scenes photos and now these videos, and he's been posting some really old photos. He's calling it like throwback something, not throwback Thursday like everybody else on
the internet. I was thinking that
he does something different because he's Dan.
He's such a hipster.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of like a good example here is that there was rumors, Variety reported that he was going to star in Fox's Frankenstein as Igor.
Oh my God, there's a Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Is this a new show?
No, this is a movie. Oh. Sorry, not okay. Fox, the television network.
All right, okay.
The movie arm.
D-Rad doesn't do TV shows.
Yeah. Like no, that Rupert.
That's
punk.
Rupert Grint.
I like Rupert.
But, so Variety reported it, and then Dan Radcliffe posted it on his Google Plus profile, which obviously confirms that he is involved. So I thought that was like a cool way to get confirmation on these article on these news stories as well. So
at least 1,000 people knew that he confirmed it.
Right. I think I made a note of it in my article on Hypeable too. I said that he plugged it on his Google Plus page, so it must be true. Anyway, props to Dan. I like that. Maybe he should run Pottermore because he seems to have a good grasp of social media and what people
there
want.
You go. I'm sure he needs the work.
Yeah. Sure, it's a one-man job.
And
not like Dan. He's I feel like he's the most interesting. You know what I mean? Like, I love Emma, but I feel like Dan is the most interesting. You know what I mean? He's one of the people I'd love to hear from. And you, like you said, you just don't hear from him as much as the others.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Team Rupert, so there you go. We're all covered here.
Does Rupert have the internet?
I don't think so. I don't think he's realized it's there yet, but shh. He'll get there.
And finally, not Harry Potter related news in our Hot on Hypeable segment. Finding Dory has been announced by Disney and Pixar.
I'm so excited.
Me too.
Apparently everyone is.
Me too.
This came the day after April Fool's. So
yeah.
I saw Ellen put it up on her Instagram on April 2nd. And I thought, is this a joke? Is this like a Photoshop thing? Cause she does stuff like that sometimes. And then I was midway through sending an email to Disney and then the official press release came in. This is the Finding Nemo sequel. We had heard there was going to be a sequel. We just didn't know it was going to focus on Dory and be called Finding Dory. It's just a great idea.
It worries me though, because if they're going to be finding Dory, does that mean that she's going to be gone for most of the movie?
No, it's about her finding her family and like finding out where she came from.
Well, that's misleading.
Well, not really.
Okay, that's awesome.
Not really.
I get with it. Yeah.
Finding herself, you know?
Yes, right.
So Ellen DeGeneres said, the script is fantastic. It has everything I loved about the first one. A lot of heart. It's really funny. And the best part is it's got a lot more Dory. It's funny.
Yeah, she released a hilarious video. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was like how many times she had mentioned that they should make a sequel to Finding Nemo on her show. And it was like 50 times. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it's great. She's done it a ton of times.
She has like a countdown of minutes already. Yeah, it's like a million minutes.
A million, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, though, how much of Nemo we're going to see in the movie. And really, Nemo's dad.
They're going to have to, I would assume they would have to recast him because the person who played Nemo is probably well throughout puberty by now.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times those are actually adult actors. I know, like, I don't know if you guys remember, like, Rugrats. Rugrats was all adult actors that did baby
that
voices.
That creeped me out when I first found that.
So it's kind of odd, but I think a lot of times, I don't know, someone can infect
Well, maybe this, maybe some time will have passed, some fish years, so he's an adult fish now. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think the press release.
Emo Nemo.
I think
that's a good title.
Brilliant.
I think the press release said it's like a year after Finding Nemo.
Oh yeah,
took place.
You're right. Yep.
But that's a long time for a fish.
Yeah,
fish years. It's like 30 years. Yeah,
exactly. He's like an old man.
What do you say, Josh?
I was just saying what Selena said. He's an old man.
Yeah. That's true. So that is going to be released November 25th, 2015. And that same year, Pixar is going to release another film, actually. I think The Good Dinosaur comes out that year. That's their dinosaur movie. So, and this will be the first year that Pixar releases two movies in 1 year, which is pretty significant.
It's really interesting because they're not releasing anything for 2014.
No.
Are they?
No, I think they... Oh, sorry. The Good Dinosaur is coming out in 2014.
Okay.
I think the movie Inside Your Mind, which doesn't have a title yet, that's the one that is going to be released in 2015 as well. So yeah, Good Dinosaur is coming out May 30th, 2014. And Toy Story 4 is going to come out in 2016. Just a guess, but. Let's move on to some other news. Game of Thrones.
Yay!
It has broken a pirating record.
I'm so proud. Of my show, which everybody wants to watch, no matter where in the world they are. Yeah, this is interesting, especially because of, you know, just stuff that people involved with the show have been saying over the past couple of weeks and months, because there's been a lot of talk about pirating in Game of Thrones. And I think someone involved with the show, I don't recall who it was, might have been Brian Cogman, that might be totally off, has been saying that it's actually a good thing, because it spreads awareness about the show. And when you have something like Game of Thrones, obviously you want it to be viral and you want people to be talking about it and sharing it and all of that. And I think it's like, speaking of just in terms of business, I mean, this is just a sign that HBO needs to make their programming more easily available.
Right.
Because there's a reason why this is happening.
They could have made
so much money.
It's
because it's so hard to get it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, just get it on iTunes, you know, do stuff like that. But the fact that it's so limited, but everybody wants to see it, that's why this is happening.
Right.
And it's just a wake up call to the industry.
To the machine.
To change. Yeah. Just do it differently already, you know? Yeah.
There's one option. You gotta have HBO and that's it. Or have somebody's HBO Go username and password.
Mm-hmm.
Which, Selena, I should just give you mine. Does that work outside of the U.S.?
Oh my God, we should try.
Yeah, we should
talk about this on off the air.
Okay.
It would have worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna have to change my password, because right now it's I love Tariq, and that would just be.
Oh, okay. Let's just give it away.
That's really weird, because my password is I love Andrew.
Oh,
oh my God.
Besties.
Matchmaking.
So I have a feeling they're not gonna change, though, because I feel like they like that. They're so exclusive.
HBO has been pretty stern, like, their whole, life, pretty much. And I just can't imagine them wanting to change.
And the thing is,
No, I was just going to say, they obviously make money, you know, so they're not too worried about it. Although I've heard the actors don't get paid a lot on HBO shows.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, they'll probably make more as they, get deeper into their roles, you know.
I just remember, like, important. Sopranos, they didn't make a lot of money, the actors.
Oh, All right.
Maybe it's gone up.
Time for some Doctor Who news. Tariq, I think you got this one. Christopher Eccleston.
Eccleston. Yeah.
Who is he?
Christopher Eccleston turned down the role, a comeback role for Doctor Who in the 50th anniversary that they're currently shooting right now. It's really interesting, because he was the first Doctor in the 2005 era reboot. So he was a lot of people's first Doctors when they started watching. And so he left the show because of politics way back when it had a different creative team. And so he was in talks with the current creative team, and he decided not to join them, which is really disappointing.
Yeah.
Because they're going to focus on all the Doctors, and they're going to use his image anyway. Like, we discussed this on Who Hype. They're going to have to, like, flash his face somewhere on the episode, and they're going to use his image. So why can't he just do, like, a 30-second cameo or something?
This makes me so sad, because, I mean, I love David Tennant and I love Matt Smith, but, I mean, Christopher Eccleston, I thought he was a great Doctor. I really, really, really enjoyed his take, and it was so different. From there, like, it was more dark and it was less whimsical. And it always made me sad that there was only one season with him. And it's just, why not? Come on, Christopher.
Yeah, come on,
well,
Chris.
It may be, and this is kind of another fandom, but he's working on a Thor sequel. And he's the villain in that. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's just, I know they're doing that in, I think, London. So that would actually, you know, probably work. I don't know where they filmed Doctor Who.
It'd be like one day.
But they're filming now, so I think maybe he's just busy.
Does it seem like he's just holding a grudge?
It seems that way to
me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, I don't know. I just I I don't want to anger anyone, but he just seems like a douchebag now.
He does kind of look like a douchebag, but
you anger me.
I love him in his roles.
And see, like, now whenever I watch any episodes of Doctor Who, when he's in it and he's all smiley, I'm like, that's such a fake smile, you asshole.
Oh no, don't say that. That's terrible. Just for the state for the record that I like him and Josh likes him.
I like him a lot. Yeah, I just think he looks like a bad guy. You know what I mean?
He's my least favorite doctor, so it's okay.
Josh, Iron Man 3 is on the way and coming out next month. Jimmy is actually going to be going to the junket here in Los Angeles, talking to Robert Downey. And, you know, hopefully we'll get some good interview stuff out of that. But an interesting statistic came out the other day, right?
Yeah, Fandango, the movie ticket website, released, I guess it wasn't a poll. It was actually a study they did, right? I think it was within their users that Iron Man 3 was the most anticipated movie of this summer. And so it was a pretty big deal. I think Star Trek was the next, or Star Trek Into Darkness was next. And I don't remember the rest, but Robert Downey Jr. has been everywhere. I think he was in South Korea last week promoting the film. So I can't imagine that they'll have trouble, you know, pulling in the money, which is the next story, is that it was tracking for $125 million for the opening weekend, which could get pretty close to the Avengers opening weekend.
Wow. The top 10 most anticipated fan movies are Iron Man 3, Star Trek Into Darkness, The Great Gatsby, Fast and Furious 6, which, okay. number 5 is The Hangover 3, 6 is Man of Steel, 7 is Despicable Me 2, 8 is The Lone Ranger, 9 is World War Z, and 10 is Monsters University.
I wish they would have released like how they picked or how they chose these. I assume it's by people who come to the site and click on the movies.
Yeah, I figure I think they surveyed. I mean, so they just said, okay, out of these movies, which one are you most anticipating? But I think it's interesting that out of these 10, 6 of them are sequels.
Yeah. Which doesn't really surprise me.
No. Okay, that's let's go around the table right then. Now. Which movie is each of your most anticipated? Josh, is yours Iron Man?
No, honestly, I think mine might be Man of Steel, just because it's not a sequel. I know it's a sequel to the Superman franchise, but I feel like it's new. You know what I mean? It's new. It's new actors. And I think Henry Cavill, who's going to be playing Superman, will be, you know, a great fit. And Amy Adams as Lois Lane is pretty awesome. So
she's pretty.
And I think that they'll just, it's kind of like with the Batman series, whenever they picked Christian Bale and a few other, you know, Gary Oldman and all them to create these roles, when you get good actors in these movies that are comic book movies, you know, they really become a lot better, you know, but tenfold. So I think Man of Steel is probably my what I'm looking forward to the most.
How about you, Selena? Even though the movie may not come out soon for you.
It will be like 2014 sometime. I think I'm probably most excited for Star Trek because I think that, I mean, I was never like hugely into Star Trek, but I really enjoyed the first movie. And I feel like some of the people that they've got for the second one, like I'm a really big fan of some of the actors that are in there. To be honest though, I mean, Percy Jackson. I'm actually excited for Percy Jackson.
Yeah,
because, I mean, the first movie sucked. It sucked. But the books are so good that I'm really, really excited for the sequel because I feel like it's been a long enough time that they might have actually gotten their act together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, let's hope so. I mean, the trailer, which released a couple of weeks ago, we actually didn't include that, but that looks pretty good. Have you seen the trailer?
Yeah, I've seen the trailer and I'm, it's looking up. And that has so many of, again, my favorite actors. Like, they just, all of these gods, like it's great.
And now they have I forgot the actor's name, but from Perks of Being a Wallflower,
Logan Lerman.
Logan, yeah, he's you know, he's a big, I want to say big star, but he was great in Perks, so I imagine that you know, that'll really help them going forward.
And Giles, Anthony Stewart Head is going to be in it, and Nathan Fillion is going to be in it. Exactly, like I feel
especially,
like
I love that they turned Annabelle Blonde from the first movie into the second movie.
Yes.
Have you read the books? Mm-hmm. Have any of you read the books?
No. I have. I've read
them. Yeah. Yeah. That was like a big scandal when the first movie came out, and she was like a brunette, and they're like, why
can't you like just... 10 years older than what's his face? Logan Lerman, too. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I remember when a photo of her with the new blonde hair came out, people had the same reaction that you did. I'm hoping we could do some coverage of that one because that studio is also behind The Fault in Our Stars, and they've already been in touch with us about that. So,
anyway, yeah, and I imagine maybe it would have been on this top 10 list if it would have been the trailer would have come out a few weeks earlier because I think the survey just, you know, probably cut it off.
These are all really big films, though, in terms of publicity now. They're all getting Percy a lot Jackson of attention.
Pretty big if they you know promote it properly.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a late summer film too. It doesn't come out until August. So
August. Yeah.
Tariq, how about you? What's your most anticipated?
I can't choose between Monsters, Inc. or Despicable Me 2. They're both very childish, but they both look hysterical.
I'm most excited for Monsters University. I'll take that one. So you can have Despicable.
How about Kick-Ass 2?
Yeah,
that's highly anticipated.
I'll see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should have been on the list, right?
Yeah.
First
Jim Carrey looks great in that. I feel like this will be a kind of a comeback for him. He's playing the Colonel Stars and Stripes.
Mm-hmm. I think he's got a more inappropriate name than that, right? Inappropriate, I say. So one character in the movie has a name with the F word in it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
That's not him.
So funny.
It's a new character.
Josh, do you watch Breaking Bad?
I don't, no.
Okay, so no, but I assume nobody, I don't think anybody else watches either.
No.
So I'll talk about it really quick. Breaking Bad apparently is going to have a spinoff featuring Saul Goodman, the lawyer on the show. He's a beloved character, so that's being written right now. It's not official yet, but it looks like it may happen. Yeah. Hmm?
Is he the bald guy on Breaking Bad?
Yeah, I think semi-bald. But if there were to be a Breaking Bad spinoff, that would be the character to do it on, so... Hopefully that comes to fruition. Well, what about this Walking Dead spin-off? What? Who wrote this in here?
Oh, that was me. I'm sorry. Is that not happening?
No.
I have no idea. I swear I saw like a spin-off happening with what's his face?
Maybe it's a miniseries? Or maybe you're confusing it with Breaking Bad because they're both on AMC.
Possibly. I could have sworn to you that something like one of the ambassador or whatever his name was getting a spin-off.
The governor?
Yeah, the governor. The maybe I just dreamed that.
The governor dead. The walking governor.
Yeah, there you go. The walking governor.
No, well, that was a big deal. Like, he didn't die in the finale. I guess we shouldn't talk about that until, four weeks after the episode ends.
Well, I made a note of it later on in the show notes because there's a few shows that started and ended in the past couple weeks. So we'll talk about those in a minute. You know, every once in a while, we actually do some tech news on Hypeable because our audience, everybody's tech savvy and we like to cover Apple stuff and, Android stuff and Facebook, of course. Everybody uses Facebook. And they announced the Facebook phone, essentially. It's an HTC phone, which is an Android device. And it comes with this new software, essentially, called Facebook Home. And it takes over your lock screen and it displays pictures and you can get your friends' status updates. It's all about people. Mark Zuckerberg said, Facebook Home is not about apps. It's about people in your lives and what they're memeing. He didn't say that, but that's basically what this is going to be. It looks cool. There's a nice feature called Chat Heads.
Yeah, where Chat Heads looks nice.
Your friends' heads will pop up when they send you a message, no matter what app that you're in. And that way you're never leaving the app. You're always chatting within the app, which is kind of cool.
Am I the only person who just imagined random heads popping out of the floor to like talk to you?
Hello. Oh,
Tariq and I talked about this because Tariq is a big Apple guy, and I'm actually an Android guy because I built computers pretty much my whole life. And so he and I talked about this, and he was like, "Do you you know, is this something that you would use? Because it's only going to be on Android devices. It's not on, you know, you can download it for Android devices. You don't have to buy the HTC First, which is the, the Facebook phone. So you can download this, you know, Facebook Home on any, well, not any Android device, but a majority, I think. And it's just not something that I think any Android user would want to use. I mean, it's going to have such a small user base. I'm just worried about it surviving. I think that maybe like teens coming into, phones altogether, I could see them picking up, you know, the Facebook phone because their lives probably revolve around Facebook or social media.
Really, though? Does anyone really use Facebook anymore?
You know, there are actually a lot of kids these days, I sound like an old man, are using other apps like Snapchat, Instagram. I think those are the big two right now, popular with the kids. Facebook is kind of turning into a site for adults.
Yeah.
It's interesting because it's has a very small niche audience that it's going to serve, and it's not a big audience at all.
Yeah.
And I feel like,
which is weird because Facebook's so huge, it just doesn't make sense to make a niche, you know, just doesn't make sense.
And the thing is, like, it doesn't help that the tech specs of the phone are just crap. It's like not a fast phone. It doesn't have a good camera.
Yeah.
And it's just for those like grandmas and like parents who like use Facebook all the time.
My hold up, a feature they keep promoting is on the lock screen, you get to see photos of your friends, photos that they're uploading, which is nice. But as The Verge pointed out, people don't always post these gorgeous photos on Facebook. They post memes. They post crappy Instagram images. Like,
this we're going to get pictures of people's foods on our phones.
Yeah. Like, I don't want this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that really comes up through that, where you can flip through, you know, the home screen there. I mean, it's just pictures. You don't even get, like, status updates or anything like that. It's just going to be pictures.
No, you do get status updates.
I think they're attached to the photos, though, maybe.
I'm not saying you can't get status updates. It's just that feature uses only photos because it wants to show you full screen photos, you know. But like you said, all the photos aren't great. You know, usually pictures that people post online aren't great.
Crap. Or like, what if I'm in a public area and I load up this is, by the way, you just turn your phone on. This is your lock screen.
Yeah,
you
lock
see your
screen.
Friend's photos.
Yeah.
And like, I see my friend, you know, Selena, just uploaded a photo of her snogging her new boy. Like, I think that's adorable.
You want that on your phone.
I do. But what about the people around me? They're looking at me on my phone.
Subjecting them to that.
Well,
I see.
They're just thinking, like, why does this creeper have a photo of his other friend making out with her boyfriend? Like,
I imagine it'll bring up some weird conversation. You're right. I didn't think about that. Because as soon as you turn it on, it's like, boom, picture.
Boom. You don't have any choice. It's up to your friends what is showing up on your phone. I mean, I don't know.
You could totally really sabotage someone. Friends. Right, exactly.
No thanks, Facebook. Anyway, I think, like I said, Chat Heads is a pretty cool feature. And in fact, they updated Messenger on Android today.
Yep.
And Chat Heads now works without Facebook Home installed. So if I was an Android user, I would just install Chat Heads. And
basically, if you don't know what Chat Heads is, for viewers or listeners rather, Chat Heads is basically like your Facebook chat, but you can go to any app or any web page or anything, and the icons for your friends will be on that page no matter what. It won't go away. And you can move it, but it stays on the screen no matter where you go. So anytime if someone messages you, you know, you can click their name or their head, actually, and it'll come, you know, bring up the message.
Let's move on now. Let's see. Oh, yeah, we should mention this. On Girls, HBO Girls, great show. Who watches it?
I used to.
You gave up?
Kind of stopped.
Oh. Mm. Okay, then it's just me now. HBO Girls, it's by Lena Dunham. It's on HBO, like I said 30 times just now. Christopher Abbott, one of the actors, is leaving because of a little tiff with Lena Dunham. They started filming season 3 already and he dropped out. We don't know what the argument was about, but I don't know if it was like plot or contract dispute or what, but kind of a surprise because he was certainly the most attractive guy on the show, so that was a disappointing, at least in season 1 he was, and the end of season 2, but yeah. And like he was back to having a big role by the end of season two, and then now he's gone. So, disappointing.
You have to wonder. I mean, Girls is such a big show, and this was such a big role for him. Like, why would he leave for any reason?
Yeah, like, what did Lena say to him that upset him? Or what did he say that upset Lena? Awkward.
Ooh, so much speculation here.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at the calendar now. The Vampire Diaries spinoff, The Originals, premieres very soon, Selena.
It does. It premieres later this month on the 25th of April as an episode of The Vampire Diaries. It's really interesting because, I mean, this spinoff, it hasn't even started and I'm already anticipating that I'm going to like this even more than The Vampire Diaries because it brings some of my favorite characters just front and center. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's actually airing. The pilot is airing as an episode of The Vampire Diaries and it hasn't been picked up for the fall season by the CW yet, but I mean, we're all kind of assuming that it will be because The Vampire Diaries is so popular and the original seems like such a great concept. But who knows? I mean, the CW has something stupid, like 10 different pilots that all sound amazing that they're considering for the fall season and only like 4 or 5 at the most are going to get picked up.
That's interesting how they're running the pilot as an episode of Vampire Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
When I first saw the poster, I clicked a link that said the Originals poster. And then I look at the poster and it says the Vampire Diaries. It doesn't say the Originals. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. I think they're just like testing the waters just to see like how people are going to react to a whole new setting. It's going to be like a whole new setting in a couple of new characters without our main characters, except not really because we don't even know if this episode is just going to focus all completely on the Originals and have some Elena, Damon, Stefan in the background yet.
Well, I feel like this episode will be a pilot. Like this will be as if they were launching a new show. This will be putting Klaus and Rebecca and Elijah and those characters right front and center. But I almost wish that they started out in the familiar setting because I feel like a lot of people who maybe aren't as active online just watching The Vampire Diaries will be like, what the hell is this? Where's Stefan? Where's Damon? What's going on? So because they're doing this clearly to hook fans of The Vampire Diaries straight away and not have them sort of, it's almost like, haha, you can't avoid the spinoff because we're putting it right on the show. But at the same time, there is that danger of alienating people who just come to the show for certain characters. And my only frame of reference for something like this was when they did the same on Gossip Girl. They were going to do a prequel show similar to the Carrie Diaries with one of the characters' mothers. And they launched this episode, which was basically like one long flashback and people just hated it. And it just completely flopped. So, I mean, I'm hoping that that won't happen here, but I'm sure it won't. People are really excited about this.
Okay, well, I'm excited for you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Also, this week, coming up this weekend, is the Veep Season 2 premiere.
Ugh.
What?
Sorry. It's like stupid name snatchers.
Why? What do you mean?
Because the lead character is called Selena and it annoys me. Oh. Anyway, okay.
What is anybody? How dare they? Anybody watch Veep?
No.
It's going to be my recommendation because
it's just you once again.
It's so good. It stars Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She used to star on Seinfeld. And there was this kind of Seinfeld curse. Like nobody really ever had a big hit post Seinfeld. Not that they needed it. They're all rich from Seinfeld and the syndication they get. But Julia Louis-Dreyfus really has a great show here with Veep. It is it's kind of impromptu as well. It stars, like I said, Julia, Tony Hale from Arrested Development, Matt Walsh, Reed Scott, Anna Chlumsky. It's just so funny. And I recommend watching season one because they're only half hour episodes. There's only 8 of them, so you can burn through it really quick. I watched the entire season with somebody a couple weeks ago, and it's so fun watching a second time. I mean, so good. So good.
I really wish I could watch it. I don't know how you guys with common names manage, because it just totally takes me. I'm like, every time they say her name, I'm like, what is happening? It's really hard.
She's the vice president in this show, so they always call her ma'am a lot and the Veep. So you won't hear the word Selena uttered too often.
Thank God.
No, I know how you feel, Selena, because last night I was watching Jimmy Fallon, and apparently one of the band members' name is Tariq, and the guest is like, seriously? Yeah, I just slept with Tariq last week. I was like, wait, what? I don't understand.
I don't remember this.
You were like, I wish.
Nah, she wasn't that.
Okay. Beep does look good, though. I saw the preview the other day, and I was glad to see her, doing something, because she's great. She's really funny.
Try the first couple episodes of season one. If you don't like it, then check it out. But yeah, it's they're only half hour, so they're quick to get through, and you'll love them. Speaking of TV, let's talk about some recent television. There's been three premieres and one finale. First was The Walking Dead finale that Josh mentioned earlier. It was good. It didn't blow me away. I was expecting things to happen that didn't happen. Particularly, I thought there was going to be a different end for the governor. And that didn't happen. Who else watched it? Josh?
Yep, I watched it.
What do you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, like you said, I expected the governor to get killed, but and I was kind of surprised, like, when he starts just, I guess we're going all out on this, but he shoots, like, basically his whole town, and it was just like, I was waiting for someone to just shoot him. You know what I mean? It was just terrible. Like, everybody just fell over and died, and and it was just kind of ridiculous.
And then there was the Game of Thrones season 3 premiere, which Selena watched, I'm sure. How is that shaping up to be, Selena, this season?
Well, the first two episodes are out, and I mean, I wasn't actually, because we know we do the Game of Owns podcast about it. I wasn't able to be on those two episodes, but I have kind of shared my thoughts already there. And the finale, the premiere was awesome. I personally preferred the second episode, but I'm more curious, honestly, to hear what Tariq has to say about it, because I haven't heard his opinion yet.
I actually really agree with you. The second episode was better in terms of just excitement. I feel like the first episode was just like the first episode in season one, where it's mostly just setting things up and you have to kind of like remember things and you have to get back in your spot. You have to be like, oh yeah, this happened and so-and-so died and so-and-so did this. And so like the first episode was for me, it was mostly like, wait, what? Oh, okay. Got it. And then the second episode was like, yeah, that's awesome. So
it's funny you mentioned that, because let's skip to Mad Men. I felt the same way about the Mad Men premiere, which this past Sunday, it was a 2-hour premiere, but basically two episodes. They separate the episodes. They call them 601 and 602.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened, whereas the first hour was sort of just like a lot of setup, not really exciting. And then the second hour got a lot better. There was more excitement. And I almost feel they did this last year too. And I think Matt Weiner or AMC realizes that the first hour of his seasons tend to be lacking or something. They realize that they need to stack the first two episodes back to back because there's a lot of setup in the Mad Men premieres.
Well, I think they're trying to hook, you know, the new audience. You know what I mean? Like the family member who watches, you know, the last few seasons rather. And then you have, you know, you get someone else to watch it. They need a little bit of setup in the first episode. You know what I mean? You can't just jump in because they don't know the past, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Josh, did you watch Game of Thrones?
I did. Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought, I mean, like you guys said, there was a little bit of setup in the first episode, but I like Game of Thrones, so well, obviously you guys do too. so it didn't bother me that there was, you know, less action in the first one than there was.
Was anyone else thrown off by how different Bran looked
yeah.
It just like, threw me off a lot.
I was distracted by the reeds, though, because I was so excited.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally, the Doctor Who mid-season premiere, correct?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Happened about two Saturdays ago.
It was the first time we got a new look, or our look at the Clara that's traveling with the Doctor. Like, we've met Clara twice, but both times she died, and this is the first time that we get the one that's going to be his actual companion throughout the series. And so it was
weird.
Interesting. Yeah, it was very bizarre. And, it's weird. Like, all of these premieres, I feel like the first episode, not that great. Like, the first episode of Doctor Who was the monster was very easy, and it was very simplistic, and it wasn't very adventurous. But then the second episode got really, really interesting. So it's weird that this trend is going with, like, all of these premieres this season.
I think they're just, to be honest with you, not to go into a huge rant, but it's just because they're starting to dumb down to audiences a lot. And there's just, they just, I feel like the networks are putting pressure on the writers to just make sure that they explain everything in great, you know, excruciating detail. Cause I feel like this is happening on all shows at the moment.
Nonetheless, an exciting time to be a TV viewer. Especially now that Veep's coming back. Woohoo! And Breaking Bad in the summer. Oh, Lord. Anyway, let's move on to Hypeworthy to wrap up the show.
Wait, I thought Hypeworthy was the recommendation.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, sorry. That was me. Fail.
Little note glitch in the Google Doc. So I'll start just because I mentioned mine already. It's Veep. I highly recommend Veep and check out the season 2 premiere this Sunday on HBO at 9 or 10 p.m. I can't remember which time. How about you, Tariq?
I'm going to recommend Summer Falls, written by Amelia Williams, which is the companion book for Doctor Who. It was in the premiere, actually, the 7-part 2 premiere. And it's actually has a lot to do with the series this time. Last time they released an ebook, it was like very different. It was horribly written. It was just bad. But this book's actually really great. And it actually provides some clues for a couple of the monsters that we're going to see later this season.
How about you, Josh?
Josh.
I'm going to recommend a TV show called Bates Motel, which airs on Mondays on A&E. And it stars Freddie Highmore. And so if you remember, he was the young actor who played Charlie in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And he also starred alongside Johnny Depp in Finding Neverland. But basically, he plays the character Norman Bates, which was the character featured in Alfred Hitchcock's 1960s film about the serial killer who has split personalities. Basically, kills people during his blackouts. But basically, the show is a prequel to the film. And Norman, who is Freddie Highmore, is 17 years old at this point. And there's only been 4 episodes so far, but like every Monday after I watch it, I'm like, damn, I want the next episode. So we don't cover the show on Hypeable, obviously, but it's already been picked up for its second season, and it's only had 4 episodes.
Is this something that we need to like watch the movie to kind of get an understanding?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all. It's I've never seen the movie. I just know that it's a, you know, the movie's called Psycho. It's a very, you know, very famous movie. But basically, it's a real suspenseful show, and there's, you know, deaths left and right and weird stuff going on in the new neighborhood that they've moved in.
In 4 episodes, there are deaths. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think there was a death in the first episode.
I'm excited.
But you can watch all 4 episodes online on A&E's website for free. So that's a great way to, you know, catch up with the rest of the viewers.
Awesome.
And Selena.
Well, I'm going to take it to a slightly different genre, but stay in the TV realm and recommend a show that I've been watching recently, ABC's Revenge, which is just seems... There's so many shows on right now that I wish I watched, but I don't have time. And Revenge was just kind of like a random choice of mine. Just going, you know what? I'm just going to give this show a try because I like the red dress that she's wearing on the cover of the DVD. And I was so surprised by how much I actually enjoyed it, because I feel like a lot of television at the moment is like you start watching it and you're like, I don't know. I'm kind of bored. You know, you give up halfway through and everyone says it's amazing, but you just never really get into it. Whereas Revenge, for some reason, I guess it appeals to my sense of drama. It just hooked me instantly. It has a character or an actor that I've actually liked for a while, which is Nick Wexler, who was in Roswell back in like 10 years ago. And he plays a character called Jack, which also feeds my theory that there are no bad Jacks on television. I dare you guys, find me
that
one.
That sounds like a good article.
I was thinking about doing that actually, but this just has the perfect blend of mystery and intrigue. And it's like almost on the edge of being soapy, but it's intelligent enough that I watch it and I don't feel stupid. Like every once in a while, like this really over the top dramatic character will like slap someone and I'll be like, ooh, it's a soap.
But I know exactly who really. You're talking about.
It's right. and it's just set in this beautiful beach town with boats and water and the
sea.
They're
hot preppy boys.
Oh God. They're really hot guys. And the main character is really likable. And I totally ship Jack and Emily. all the way. I'm such a shipper, and I found a ship here that I can really sort of ship casually. Beautiful. As I watch it. And that always makes the show a little bit better. You know, it just, it's really fun. And some people have said that the second season isn't as good as the first. I'm not that far into it, but I can kind of see what they mean. But just watch the first season. You will speed through it and you'll have been entertained. So I really like it.
On a similar note, I've heard very good things about Scandal. Yeah.
What? But that show is amazing too. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. I really want to watch Scandal because everybody won't shut up about it.
Scandal's so original. It's amazing. Hmm. It's so good. Like, you would think
watching that.
You would think that you can like predict like the twists and the turns and like the plots, but you can't. Like, you can't. And it's from the same woman who writes Grey's Anatomy. And like, Grey's Anatomy is starting to slowly kind of go downhill. Meanwhile, like, Scandal's like just climbing upwards. It's cool. Great.
Yeah, that's going to be my next show. Okay, everybody. Well, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Hype. As always, you can check out hypeable.com for the latest stories like the ones we discussed today. And of course, next episode, we will talk about the Catching Fire trailer and any other shocks and surprises that come our way, just like they do on Scandal. Or so we hear. And in the episode and in the post announcing this episode, leave your feedback about the show and what we discussed today, and we will read it. And who knows? Well, admittedly, we haven't gotten to much feedback, user feedback, listener feedback, but we'll try to do that in the future. And we'll see everybody next time for episode 6. Goodbye.
Bye.
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 All right.
That was good. Woo.